The First Testament reading is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 32, verses 1 through 6, and you may follow along on page 78 in the Old Testament. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Come, make gods for us, who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Aaron said to them, "Take off the gold rings that are on the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took the gold from them, formed it in a mold, and cast an image of a calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a festival to the Lord." They rose early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought sacrifices of well-being. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to revel. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second lesson follows directly upon the lesson from last week. It's a continuation of the reading out of Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. Last week he talked about radically reorienting relationships between husbands and wives, parents and children, slaves and masters. And that's sort of the context for where we pick up here this morning when we're looking at chapter 6, starting in verse 10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly, as I must speak." The word of the Lord. Fascinating to watch this thing unfold in front of us. A mama cheetah teaching its baby how to hunt. About 3 years ago, Cindy and I went to the dedication of a water well in Kenya that our church helped to pay for. While we were there, we decided that it may be our only opportunity ever to go on a safari, and so we did. One day while we were out on safari, out on the savannah, we saw these antelope, and they were sort of focused on something, and our guide said, just follow the line and look, and you'll see the cheetahs. And there was a larger cheetah, probably the mom and the little baby, and you could watch them sort of slowly slink through the grass on the savannah, getting almost ready to pounce. And the antelope, as if they were a single organism, would suddenly all run. Now, they wouldn't run and keep running. They would run just far enough. And then they would spot the cheetah again, and the cheetah would try and get low. And then they'd all run again, as if they were a single organism. And I think Cindy sort of focused on the mama and baby cheetah. I watched the antelope because what was going through my mind was, man, they look just like people. They reminded me of people at a ball game when suddenly someone starts the wave. Okay? No one is really in charge. No one orders people to start a wave. Just somebody decides to do it and everybody goes along. All right? It's antelope behavior. And it's not just that. How many of you have ever been in a room or, say, in an audience someplace, and one person starts laughing, and suddenly you find yourself laughing even if what you're laughing at wasn't funny? Or how many, I remember the opening night of Star Wars, the original Star Wars, the first time Darth Vader came onto the screen, someone started booing and everyone in the theater. So we had no idea who he was, we just all booed, right? It's antelope behavior, and we do it because that's the way our brains are wired. Our brains are literally wired to go along in order to belong. And if you want to know more about it, this is a great little book. It's called Social: Why Our Brains Are Wired to Connect. And the author looked at hundreds of studies of sort of this antelope-like behavior. And he came to the conclusion that our brains really are wired that way. We are wired to be in community because it gives us safety, it gives us comfort. And the opposite is also true. If we are excluded from community, if the group we want to be a part of sort of ostracizes us or kicks us out, it is literally painful. The same kind of pain receptors that we get when you hit your thumb with a hammer. That's the pain we feel, which is why middle school is such an awful place to be. And so what that means is, the answer to the question that all of our mothers asks us, if all of your friends jumped off a cliff, would you? All right, we know what the answer is supposed to be, right? Oh, no, Mom, no, I wouldn't do that. But we know what the real answer is. Sure, there must be something great at the bottom of that cliff. Okay, that we are so wired to go along in order to belong that we will do things we know are not right. We will go along in those moments when we watch someone saying something hurtful and we don't step up, we don't protect them, we just kind of stand there and watch it happen. Because we don't want to be pushed out of the group. We go along in order to belong. And this is sort of at the heart of this passage, because the Apostle Paul gets that this is the way it works. And if you think our society pressures people to go along to belong, you should have lived in the Roman Empire. It was abundantly clear how it worked. If you were at this position in society, you were to look down and denigrate and abuse the people below you. If you were here, you are to be obedient to the people up here, and you are to denigrate and abuse the people below you here. And if you were at the bottom, you were supposed to simply just take it. And what Paul has said is, no, that's not the way the world is supposed to work. That's that radically reoriented relationship where we submit to one another. We love one another. We love our neighbor as self. This is what Paul said we as Jesus followers are supposed to do. And so he got it that in the Roman Empire, the pressure was on. The pressure was on to have antelope-like behavior, to go along, to belong. And so it was going to be very difficult for Jesus' followers to step outside of that, to step outside and be that one antelope that said, you know, maybe I ought to go chat with the cheetah. You know, maybe I ought to step out and talk about reorienting this relationship. And so what Paul does in this passage is he tells his followers how they are to do that, how they can manage this standing firm in being sort of outside of the pressure of the group and the culture and the society. And what he tells them is they're to get dressed. So, quick poll this morning. How many of you got dressed this morning? Okay, all right, good. We're at 100%. Well, he doesn't just tell them to get dressed in any old clothes. He tells them, he uses this interesting image of putting on the full armor of God. And he wants to use that as sort of a metaphor for putting on the Christ-like life. Okay? Now, I suppose if you are a big fan of Game of Thrones, you might like using the metaphor of putting on the armor of God. But for me, it just doesn't quite work. So what I want to do this morning is I want to use a new image. And that is the image of superhero. Let's be honest. If you want a movie that sells, put a superhero in it. We are all into superheroes. And so what I want to do is sort of walk through this passage again, because there are several things. There are six things we're supposed to put on. We are supposed to put on truth and righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, spirit. I'll come back to them in a minute. And I want you to see each of those, how they work, and how we can put them on as we get dressed as sort of Jesus' superheroes. Now, for any of the children or teenagers who are still here, what I'm going to ask them to do, if you've got a bulletin, I want you to draw this superhero for me. Okay, as I go through it, I want you to draw this superhero. And then Miss Merton's going to be in the back and she's going to take pictures of him and we're going to put them up on the website. Actually, any of you adults, you want to do it too, go for it. You know, go for it. All right, then you can take it home and put it on your refrigerator. All right, so the way this works is Paul says you put these things on. And the first thing you're supposed to put on is the Jesus suit of truth. Think about Superman. Every morning, the first thing he puts on after he gets out of the shower is he puts on his Superman outfit, right? He puts it on, and we know that's the first thing he puts on because he's always ready to go run and find a... Now, see, he used to find a phone booth. I have no idea where he goes now. But he was always ready to duck into an alley or go into a phone booth and pull off his clothes, and his Superman suit was there. It's the first thing he put on. Well, that's the first thing we are to put on. We're to put on the Jesus outfit of truth. And the reason I say this is descriptive of truth is because Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the truth of who God is. If you want to know who God is, you look at Jesus, and there you see God. Jesus is the truth of who we are supposed to be. To be fully human, to be fully alive, is to be like Jesus. And so the first thing we put on is the Jesus suit of truth. We literally put on Jesus every morning. Now, whether you want to put a T for truth or a J for Jesus on your suit makes no difference. But in essence, it is the first thing we put on is the Jesus suit of truth. The second thing we put on are the X-ray goggles of righteousness. Now, I realize Superman didn't need X-ray goggles. He could do it anyway. He could see through buildings, and which I always thought was kind of problematic. But for us, we need to put on the X-ray goggles of righteousness. And righteousness is not about being perfect. Righteousness is about living rightly with others, living in right relationship with God and neighbor. And the problem with trying to do that, the problem with trying to live in the kind of loving relationship we are supposed to have with everyone, is that when we look at people, we see their outsides. And we look at people, and folks, let's be honest, we judge them, we categorize them by how they're dressed, by how they speak, by how much education we think they have or don't have, by the color of their skin. And what happens is, the instant we do that, these barriers come up that prevent us from living in right relationship with them the way Christ calls us to do. And this is what the X-ray goggles of righteousness do, is they allow us to look through all of that outward appearance. And they allow us to look deep within every human being and see that they are a beloved child of God. That they too have been created in God's image. That's what we're allowed to see when we put on those X-ray goggles of righteousness. Now, the next thing we're supposed to put on is the force field of peace. What do you think happens to those antelope that decide they're going to go out and chat with the cheetah? Other than maybe the cheetah eats them, but what do you think the rest of the antelope are going to do to that one outlier that breaks out? They are going to do everything they can to force that outlier back into the middle. They are going to shame that antelope. They are going to say mean things to that antelope. They are going to threaten that antelope. That's the power of these connections of going along in order to belong. I mean, think about it. If you've ever stepped outside the norms of a group because you think it is the right thing to do, is it easy? No, it's like this tidal wave of pressure comes on and tries to force you back in. And so what peace is this deep inner strength that allows us to deflect all of that pressure, all of that criticism, all of those threats. It allows us to stand firm when all around us are pushing us back into the mold, when we know that it's not what Christ wants us to do. And so we're to put on this force field of peace. Now, the last three I'm going to put together, faith, salvation, spirit, all of those have to do with extra lives. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but somehow Batman and Superman always seem to survive. Spider-Man always seems to survive. No matter how many opponents they come up against, no matter how strong they are, they seem defeated, right? This is the theme of every movie, right? They seem defeated, they seem down, and they always come back. There's always another opportunity. There's always another sequel. It's extra lives. And for those of you who are game players, that's one of the cool things about games is you can be destroyed and you get to start over again. When Mario Brothers, the original, was new, my kids, our son was like, and like, Dad, try this. I like, ooh, Dad, ooh, Dad, ooh. You know, I was terrible at it. But the cool thing was there were always more lives. This is what these three things give us: faith, salvation, spirit. We need more lives because we're not going to get this right the first time or the second time or even the third, fifth, hundredth time. There are always going to be those moments when we are caught off guard and we find ourselves going along to belong. But what faith does, faith is this container that believes that God's love for us is real and alive and that God will give us all the lives we need. And so think about it as a container. Faith is this container for all the extra lives that God gives us. And the lives are the salvation, because salvation is this deep and profound connection with God, that God has taken hold of us and God is not going to let go. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Why? Because of salvation. And so salvation are these lives that we can reach into that bag of faith and pull them out. Pull out those salvation lives. And it is the Spirit who takes those extra lives and energizes us with them. It is so easy to go along to belong. It is so easy just to let it all ride, go with the flow. Even when we know what's happening around us is not what Jesus Christ has called us to do or to be. The challenge for us then is every morning to get dressed. That before we put on anything else, it is to put on our super power, super hero outfit. Put it on so that when we step out into the world, we are prepared. We are prepared to be that one lonely antelope who says, maybe I'll go chat with the cheetah. In order to break through and create the kind of relationships God would have us to have, not only with our friends, but with our enemies, not only with our families, but with strangers. And so my challenge to you for this week is this. As you get up and you get dressed and get ready to go out, ask yourself, have I put on my super Jesus suit that I can stand firm and not simply go along to belong? Let us pray.
Gracious God, allow us, help us to get dressed every morning that we might stand for you in all that we do. And as Paul said, to be a witness to the grace and glory of your name. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.